This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We are live at Flowery Branch. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We just had a great conversation with Mike Hughes. He is cornerback number two, opposite of A.J. Terrell, and he's been playing well. Again, statistically showing up. It's not always about picks. We know that, but obviously he's ball hungry and you know, wants to get one or two. And maybe that happens in this game against the Saints. Mike, before we get to what he said and what Coach Ra had to say, and you'll hear Coach Ra coming up in the 5 o'clock hour for those who missed it, we are keeping an eye out on our situation with the Braves. We won last night. It was great. We're now a half game out, okay, for this last wild card spot. Mets are in town. We said we got to win two or three. Preferably, let's sweep these guys. They're going to play tonight. We know there's rain in the forecast, but I think they'll get tonight in. But tomorrow, Mike, it's going to be a washout. And Major League Baseball is still yet to make a decision
right
on what's going to happen.
Now, the good news, if there is good news about this, because, you know, you move your rotation around so you'd have Chris Sale for this, and now Chris Sale is going to be on ice potentially for 72 hours. Sucks. And Max Fried for same argument. The good news is the Diamondbacks are really losing some mojo. After winning four in a row, they just lost three in a row. And now they've got the Giants and then four with San Diego. So you could argue if the Diamondbacks can – if the Braves can beat the Royals and the Diamondbacks continue to just hemorrhage, you might not have to make up these games with the Mets, which might be great for everybody. And the Mets, if they're able to win their wild card battle against what would be San Diego. San Diego's red hot, by the way. You see, they had a triple play
crazy
to end the game against
crazy
the Dodgers and clinch their playoff trip. But anyway, they would play – the Mets would play San Diego, and the winner of that plays the Dodgers. Like to see that. Anyway, point I'm getting to is – yes, we don't want to get these games in. Yes, Major League Baseball should have tried to start the game around 11 o'clock. And then if nothing else, then you only have to make up four or five innings or whatever. They didn't do that. They just said, screw it. So there might be such a scenario where these games do matter, and you may have to play a doubleheader on Monday before the end. It's the end of the regular season on the 29th, and then the 1st of October, Carl, starts the wild card.
Yeah. And by the way, if Major League Baseball, and we don't know this, I don't think this is what they're, but if you're just like, we hope this scenario plays out so we don't have to worry about it, that's not what should be going on. They
no,
should
I
have
mean,
a plan.
To me, it's a lack of foresight.
Correct.
It really is.
They should have a plan, and I feel like with all that's going on, maybe this got lost in the shuffle. Either way, all you can do is play the games in front of you. And so they got to play tonight. We need another great start, as we got from Schwelly last night, and hopefully Harris stays hot. We're going to talk more about the Braves coming up with Grant McCauley, so stay tuned for that. As far as coach is concerned, Mike, we asked him the question about the decision to go for it on fourth down, specifically late in the game. You know, we don't get it. Obviously, you know, earlier in the game, what, 4 minutes to play, your defense gets the ball back. Why don't you kick the field goal? And his answer was that, you know, you go for the knockout.
You don't shadow box with the champ. In other words, Patrick Mahomes. And look, I said this to Coach when we talked to him earlier. He is consistent. You know, they went for it on that fourth and four in Philadelphia on the wrong side of the 50. They got it, sustained a big drive. He's not trying. Like, I don't think this is the analytics thing, which some people want to make it out to be. I think this is just the way he plays. He coaches aggressive, which I think after years and years of sometimes less aggressive, I think we kind of like where this is going.
Sure.
I couldn't really get a rhyme or reason to what Arthur Smith would do, because sometimes he would go for it, sometimes he wouldn't. Either way, that was the logic behind it. The one thing you could say is if you don't get the you know, the fourth and five, Mahomes is getting the ball at the 5 yard line, so they're not going to have everything in the toolbox to use. And if you do kick the field goal, presuming you're going to get the ball at the 30, and maybe the Chiefs are able to run clock and you don't get the ball back, that's the argument. That's the logic behind it. Either way, hindsight, you can say, yeah, two field goals, we win. But at least he's consistent. He's going for it all the time.
Yeah,
you know, like, remember Riverboat Ron? That was Ron Rivera's vibe.
Of course,
Riverboat Ra.
Whatever. Listen, if it works, right? Here's the problem, though. When it works, it's great. But yeah. To your point, I think the bigger thing for me is consistency. Like, this is who we are.
Right. We're an aggressive team, and we're going to go for
this. This is who we are. We're not going to back down from this. So that means in the next situation that this arrives, we're going to do the same thing. It doesn't matter who we're playing. But I do understand Patrick Mahomes is different. And you know he can beat you with less than 50 seconds on the clock.
Right.
So you go for the knockout. All right, that was his answer, guys. More on that coming up. Right now, though, we got to talk some dogs. It is the biggest game this weekend. UGA 3-0. Alabama 3-0. It's number 2 in the country, taking on number 4. We wouldn't want anything else. College game day is going to be there. It'll have everything you could ask for. Well, except for Nick Saban. And they have a new coach who's trying to put his stamp on this rivalry. Now, we've talked about Kirby's woes against Bama when Saban was there. He's 1-5. But can you correct the mistakes you made against Kentucky last week? And, Mike, when you only average 3.2 yards rushing, that ain't going to get it done against Alabama. When you average a career-low 160 yards throwing the football, that ain't going to get it done against Alabama. So they had a week off. I'm curious to see what team comes out and what we get from Georgia.
Well, they got to get Carson Beck on track. They got to move the football. You know, that's, you know, it's something that Chris touched on a few weeks back, and he's been right. They are very slow starters. Alabama is slightly slower starters, but Alabama is doing a hell of a job on third down. Georgia is not great on third downs. We spent a lot of time this week talking about Georgia. Georgia is the Falcons. Georgia is not doing it on third down as well. So I think, Carl, if you look at this game and you say Milroe was the boogeyman last year, what have you going to do? How are you changing your approach, and how has his approach changed since he's worked with Kalen DeBoer? That's still an issue. But if you can't get Carson Beck on track and get the skill position guys involved early, then it's a terrible night.
It's going to be a hard night. I do agree. Let's hear from the Alabama head coach. We heard from Kirby earlier today talking about his injuries and the Alabama explosive plays that he's concerned about, and you've got to limit those. Kalen DeBoer on preparing for the game environment.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of celebrity-type people here for us. I told the guys this with game day and everything coming here as well. The main thing is that they get prepared to play the best football game that they've played this year. You know, I always challenge them to play the best football game they've ever played in their career. And so that's what matters when it comes down to what we can control. But it is kind of cool that we have a lot of people who want to come be a part of the atmosphere and add to the excitement energy that the game will bring.
Yeah, I asked about President Trump attending the game. He stayed in his lane.
Okay. Well, listen, we know there will be a lot of celebs. Listen, when you get these big matchups, right, this is what happens. Whether it's regular season, we know it happens for the SEC championship game and certainly the playoff, but it's rare where these teams get a chance to meet regularly during the regular season. It's been one of our pet peeves. We should see Alabama more than what we see them as far as Georgia's concerned and vice versa. I mean, hell, Georgia hadn't even played Texas A&M, and they've been in the league now, you know, for 12 or 10 years. The fact is, I'm talking about at A&M, the fact is this should happen more frequently, specifically because there's such big players in college football.
Yeah, it's funny. There was an article today in Dog Nation that Kirby has never faced a Kalen DeBoer-led team, so he reached out to a guy who can't beat Kalen DeBoer and Dan Lanning.
Sure.
And I know that Andy Bunker, being that big Washington fan, gets a kick out of that, but because the familiarity with the Ducks taking on the Huskies. Apparently, Kirby reached out to Dan because, you know, Dan has built, obviously, the Oregon program and the model of Georgia to maybe try to get some insight on what they may try to do, tendencies on both sides of the ball.
Here's DeBoer, Mike, talking about being a rare home underdog. Georgia's going on the road.
I don't think they should. Honestly, I don't think Georgia should be the favorite.
I don't either, but you know what? Everybody, I think you know this. The books are like, look, they didn't play great against Kentucky. We're going to give them a few points going on the road, and everybody's going to jump on it. I'm with you on this, but this is what their head coach, Kalen DeBoer, Alabama, said about being the home underdog.
Even if there's one doubter that falls along with the Lank mentality, that's what we get to do is let any of the naysayers, you know what we're capable of. And that's, again, that's a tribute to what people see in Georgia, how high level of a football team that they have. And to their credit, that's exactly what they are. For us, it's just a matter of doing what we can do and, you know, making sure that we present the best version of what we can be on Saturday, again, through great preparation, great focus, making sure that, you know, we're feeling great about what we have, because we do.
you know, when you take some of the fodder out of the schedules, you know, Georgia played, you know, Clemson to start the season. And, you know, we know that Alabama, you know, it's they certainly had went up on the road. They had USF was trouble. They went up on the road and they beat Wisconsin. But the numbers, and this is why a guy just hit me, why is Georgia be favorite? Well, just real quick, take a listen to this.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Jay is only making 39.4 of their third downs. We brought this up earlier, Carl. They're 13 of 33 on offense for Mike Bobo. And Alabama, by the way, is converting 52.5 of their third downs. Pretty impressive, right? And then on the flip side, Georgia is allowing teams to convert 39%. And again, Alabama, just 16% teams are converting on third down. So, I mean, if you look at it, you're like, well, I got to tell you, Alabama statistically – and I get it, USF, for whatever reason, always seems to give them fits. But it just seems like, Milroe, how much have you learned? What are you doing differently? Because Kirby's still got to be kicking himself for letting that one get off the hook. That one of all the Georgia losses to Alabama, the last chance to play Nick Saban has got to be the most frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, that was last year, 27-24. They didn't get it done, and it ruins your chance for a three-peat.
Right.
So there was a lot at stake.
Dog Nation says this is the most important regular season battle Kirby's ever faced.
It is. Because this is the first time since 03 that they're going to play without Nick Saban. So you're talking about, you know, obviously the greatest college football coach in the history of the game not being a part of this now. And if you step into this and whatever happens Saturday night, let's just say the Dogs lose for whatever reason, even if it's a close game, you're going to be looking at this and saying the same thing I've been saying. Is this a Bama problem?
Right.
You can beat everybody else. You've handled everybody else. But when it comes to this particular rivalry, you have not been at your best. So Alabama, Mike, is the best offensive team they will have seen so far this season. Now, I do think Texas will top that. If Quinn Ewers is back, they're going to be a more explosive offense than Georgia or Alabama. But you can't go into this game and say, we don't have to score points. I know Alabama or Georgia hasn't given up a touchdown, but Bama's scoring 50 a game, guys, right now. I don't expect them to do that against Georgia, but they're running the football so well.
Yeah.
That is my concern.
I keep getting Dog fans who tell me, like, and we brought this up yesterday. Oh, no, they were sandbagging in Lexington. That was a grind of a game.
No, it wasn't.
It was a one-possession game the whole way through this. I mean, I can't buy that. Like, and you know, again, Kirby's had some sleepwalking efforts, the one where they had to cover behind against Missouri a couple years ago in Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like it hasn't happened before, but I just can't imagine that you're gonna come into this one and not try to really go for the jugular. Run the football. And Bobo, here's the thing. You know, guys on Bobo last year, you got to execute. You know, and the wide receiver, is Georgia's wide receiver room all it's cracked up to be?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it, Mike. I mean, you guys.
Unless they're all sandbagging,
right?
If you want to use a sandbag,
I'll use this as an example. We were talking about this kid, this Ryan Williams kid, right? He's 17 years old. Kid has 4 touchdowns, 285 yards. Nobody on Georgia's receiving in that room.
Right.
Has come close to that. So when you say, you know, I haven't seen it yet. Now, maybe that doesn't mean it's not there. Maybe Carson Beck is the guy that's going to open that up. But I just haven't seen it like I've seen it with Alabama and saying, if I was to trust their receivers and their explosive plays, that's why Kirby's talking about it.
Right.
More than what I've seen with Georgia so far through the first 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to Alabama in that area.
And I get it. You can't replace Brock Bowers. He's a generational talent. But, you know, Oscar Delp is no slouch. He was brought in as a big-time recruit, highly regarded, and he hasn't gotten in the end zone yet.
No.
So that's got to change. Then, you know, you mentioned the transfers, Dylan Bell, Dominic Lovett. You know, respectable unless, you know, you just felt the flow of the game. They yesterday called off the Dogs in the second game of the season. But, yeah, they got to get things rolling. That's why when you get back – and, by the way, mentioned earlier, the I guess this year's version of Ladd McConkey, London Humphreys, is out for this game with mono, so he's not going to play.
Oh, hate mono.
Yeah, I mean, I know when we were in high school, junior high school, it was always seemed like – I remember if you made out with – watch out, you might get mono.
Mono, yeah, yeah.
Remember, I never got it, but I remember this girl Tracy in my neighborhood. She made out with some dude at the roller skating rink, and then she got mono.
No.
So that's what you do. That's what you get for making out with a guy from Massapequa.
I had it, and her name was Jackie, and I came home, and I was sick for 2 weeks. It sucks. And my mom says, you're not seeing that girl anymore, that little girl. You're not seeing her anymore. And
I was gave you the cooties.
She gave me mono. All right, let's hear Jalen Milroe.
So that's the injury report. Out. Cooties.
It was. Jalen Milroe, the quarterback of Alabama, knowing they had beat Georgia. Of course, he's talking about the SEC championship game. And then, Mike, you know, speaking of talking jive, it got back to Georgia right in the offseason about what he had said about them not wanting to, not take on the challenge. Here's Jalen Milroe.
I'm big on body language and looking in an opponent's eyes. They looked defeated and they didn't want any more. And I knew that, you know, our team knew it was going to be a 60-minute game, and Georgia didn't believe in that.
That's what he said.
Yeah, and that was back in December.
That's what he said.
And I know that Kirby has certainly avoided any chance to make them to further.
Mike, he said he looked into their eyes.
Basically called you gutless. You guys quit. You didn't sign up for 4 quarters of football. You know that they're talking about. They're not going to. Again, Kirby's not going to let the media in,
Mike,
on this.
He said he's big on body language.
You know what Jalen Milroe said? You quit. You're not elite. You cease to be Bulldogs.
Wow.
You were puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know it's being discussed. But you got to, again, do something about it. Knock his ding dong in the dirt, man. He's a big boy, man. Take a hit.
You got to get after him. All right, man. It's going to be a fun game Saturday night. Again, Dogs and Tide. We're talking about it all week long. We're going to go to Alabama tomorrow and get some more insight on the program, where they're at, and what's going on with Kalen DeBoer in this program. But when we come back, I'm just glad he acknowledged it. Because I tell you all the time, they know. And we just found out that they do. We'll explain coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Stay safe out there. Rain, it's going to rain. Yeah, we know this. And just, you know, drive carefully. If you're driving slowly, well, okay, I get that too, Mike.
Are you sick of me continuing to bellyache about my pending ride home?
Yeah, I think it's 3 hours now, right?
2 hours and 7 minutes,
yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
From the north side to the south side, kind of coming from 2 o'clock, and I live down here at 7 o'clock. So
yeah.
It's going to be a long way home tonight, Carl, on 285.
That'll change by the time we leave here.
Well, Fricky was right. Animals are definitely walking 2x2 up to his house in Cartersville, where he's building a big ark.
I thought he built it already.
That was a canoe.
I don't care.
Oh, my bad. Hey, we are live at Flowery Branch. Here's the thing. We don't like the Saints.
Nope.
We want to beat the Saints. We want to win this division. The best payback is always winning this division. Winning it, going to the playoffs, and that's how you get the Saints back from last year's debacle at the end of the season. Now, for those of you who forget, the game was already out of hand. They were inside of the 5, whatever it was, the 3-yard line. All you need to do is take a knee. Take a knee. Game's over. Nobody's going to benefit from it. And for everything that was wrong with Arthur Smith, all right, and the things that maybe you didn't like, I will still say I stand with him in going off after they scored that touchdown.
Oh,
and Jameis handed the ball off for no damn reason, and they punched it in.
Well, just Jameis just freelanced. That would be wise. They want to get the running back to score.
Just to run the score up. For no other reason. And this is the NFL. This is in high school. You respect your opponent, man. These guys play for a lot of money. There was no reason. Everybody in the league knew it. And so Art goes off, as you guys remember, on the coach at that time, Dennis Allen. Nevertheless, turn the page. We got a new coach. But it doesn't matter to me. And I've been saying this. All offseason, I kept asking guys, how you feel about that Saints game? And at least one guy, and Caden Ellis, said, I'm not going to tell you what's going on, but I will simply say we are aware of it. Yes. So today, Mike, we talked to Mike Hughes, and you asked him the question about this game.
Because he was on the field last year. Remember, Clark Phillips had a long afternoon at the Superdome against Olave and company. But we asked him, I said, you know, we obviously are very upset Falcon fans, but are you guys upset? I went down to New Orleans for that final game last year, and Jameis decides to freelance, and they go for it. Do you guys even talk about that stuff? I know that, you know, it's a different coaching staff now, but that just really ticked off a lot of Falcon fans.
Including me.
I don't want to stir too much up, but it's floating around.
Okay.
Yeah, it's floating around. So
fair enough.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Good to hear.
floating around means that they are well aware of
what
happened.
Carl, what does floating around mean?
And the fact that fans want to ignore it or say, oh, man, that don't matter. It matters.
Right.
You try to embarrass me. That's why it matters. I don't give a damn what your contract status is, who you are on the team. You try to embarrass me, man. We're professionals. I wouldn't do that to you in that same situation. So now it's personal. So for everybody that was involved in that last year, that was on the field, Caden Ellis, all these guys I've been talking to, it's personal. And he played there. But he had nothing to do with this. This was an organization that, Mike, I think the coach is still responsible. To say you didn't know, and then Jameis is like, well, what you expect me to do? I just felt like that was a bunch of crap.
No, I mean, like, it is, first off, look, Jameis is a lovable nitwit, and I can say that because, you know, he won a championship at my school, but he is what he is. He's just a knucklehead.
He's a clown.
He's just a knucklehead. And I mean, it's so unprofessional, and it's just, and he just sits there and goes, oh, he's like, Urkel, did I do that? I mean, you know, it still happened. And it's on Dennis Allen's watch. And if Dennis Allen doesn't have control over his football team, then we can go smack Dennis Allen's team around. So, yeah, even though some of the actors have changed since that time, back in January, the last week of the season, there's some payback. And look, we know the history. It's funny. We told Coach Ra, it's 55-55. 110 games have been played in this rivalry, dead even. So, I mean, that's about all you need to know. And hopefully we're going to be able to start a new run where we can be the hammer and not the nail. We took, sure enough, from Cam Jordan and Drew Brees all those years. It would be nice to see that, you know, we can kind of start a new trend under Coach Ra and get us to 2-2, which gets us back to our initial point about how we thought we'd be in this, you know, first quarter of the season.
Yeah. So it's a big game. There's no doubt. But it's even bigger because you add that element to it where, again, it doesn't mean you go out and you cheap shot guys. But it's in the back of your mind. And
if we have an opportunity to score another point or another field goal, you do it.
You do it. That's all we're saying. Like, it doesn't rule the day. Guys don't come out and go, yeah, man, I remember what you did. But it's in the back of your mind.
It would be a hell of a story because if you miss Coach Rob, we're going to replay for you. That is the strong arm story coming up at 5:20. But and we're not just, as we said to him, I said to Coach, not blowing smoke, because national guys are saying this. Guys on the four-letter network, NFL network are saying it. Falcons are this close. You know, you can see it. They can hang. What was that? You know, the Orlovsky comments from yesterday. They look like they can hang with everybody. Put the four quarters together. We haven't put those. We've had some good drives. We had a game-winning drive, the great game-starting drive that you brought up. But can we? Wouldn't it be something if we put the total package together and put a 35 biscuit on these clowns?
Oh,
on
that'd
Sunday?
Be great. That'd be great. It'd be the best feeling ever. I mean, honestly. And I also think it puts something in the back of their mind. The way they started, they thought they might run away with this thing. And then they got a reality check last week, and I'm glad it happened. I was hoping it happened against us. But that also may mean, Mike, their preparation may be a little bit more focused this week. But I know ours is as well because we just lost a close game that we felt like we could have won.
And the Eagles, if you saw, you know, as we said, we were doing the pregame show on Sunday up there at the Nest at Signia. We had to watch that entire Eagles game. And the Saints, really, there was much of that game. Saints couldn't do anything.
Nothing.
You know, and then I know that it's been brought up, and because it was more out of necessity because Devontae Smith gets knocked out of that game, and they'd already lost, you know, A.J. Brown, that the Saints just couldn't account for Dallas Goedert. So I don't know how much, you know, scheme-wise with what we do, but it's ever there was a game where Kyle Pitts, it should. I mean, fans are certainly expecting Kyle Pitts to have a big day on Sunday.
I am too. 404-726-0929. Turtle, our poll question is up. By the way, we're asking you your concerns heading into this Saints week. And we got into this discussion because we're talking about, okay, we got replacements on the O-line. Are we still going to stay committed to this outside run with the zone run? I say yes, and we're still going to do that because it's our bread and butter. We didn't do it great last week, but it doesn't mean you go away. What's the poll look like, and what are people saying?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. At Dukes and Bell 929, at 929 The Game, if you want to go vote. What is your biggest concern heading into the Saints game? Third down woes, Saints offensive potential, offensive line injuries, and how that affects Kirk, and then Zach Robinson's play calling. Right now, a whopping 45% of the vote is going towards that offensive line being injured.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, again, no one talks about the Bengals injuries. You just said the Bengals are 0-3. I mean, no one cares about our injuries. We know that, again, for what it's worth, and Coach, now you'll hear what Coach said at 5:20. When I asked him about McGarry, it wasn't like a slam dunk that McGarry was going to play, even though he's listed as the number one right tackle.
I think they're going to go through this week, Mike. It's Wednesday. See how he feels tomorrow, right? It doesn't mean he's not in on the game planning and what's happening. Friday, if for whatever reason we get word he hadn't practiced, then I might have a little concern. Today, I'm not as concerned as I would be Friday, and then I think they're just going to see where he's at. But you know how this goes, man. He'll get to New Orleans. They'll test the ankle before the game.
Right.
and they'll see what's going on with him, or should I say the knee, because it was Dahlman was the ankle. But I think that's what's going to happen. And then if he feels good, you got to play this dude. I mean, he gives us a better chance, and he's been a starter. And I think our run game is more effective with Caleb McGarry out there. I just do.
I know that, you know, the center, they were asked about the differences. Kirk Cousins was asked about it. And there are differences with the left-handed center where, you know, how the ball is going to hit his tuchus and you get your hands on it and make the exchange. But certainly just run the football right at Cam Jordan. We asked Coach about that and the elite, you know, elite edge rushers. Look, these guys got a lot of sacks. They got 11. 11 sacks to our three. And, you know, we've not really complained about our defense because we're holding good teams to field goals, but we got to get some more heat on the quarterback, my man. And it's got to be part of it.
Well, it's got to be a bigger part of it.
And I said, I know I kept saying it yesterday, but Derek Carr is, I mean, we've seen Derek Carr fold. What's the old line? You may fold under questioning. He will fold under pressure if you get some heat on him.
Yeah, I absolutely think that is a big part of this. I'm looking at this report that just came out about the Braves and Mets remain in a holding pattern for the second and third games of their important three-game series. So that's where we are. I thought this might be something from MLB, and it's not.
New York Daily News reporting that it's a wash and that both games are going to be rained out. They're just, I think they can look at a weather map.
Well, yeah.
But it's nothing official from MLB.
Or just look outside.
Right.
So that is where we're at, guys, if you're wondering. And by the way, you might have tickets for tonight. I mean, maybe you're like, hey, they're going to get it in. I would just continue to check and make sure before you head down there. But MLB has not yet announced any changes to the schedule.
And I was going to save it for Guy Talk, but just a heads up, if you're trying to travel today, a lot of flights getting canceled. I know a bunch of flights coming in from Boston, New York. We had some friends coming to town. Those are out because of the weather.
All right, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, another balloon from China?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this one we blew up, though. I'll tell you about that. Yeah. Also, who's lying? Who's telling the truth about a stud quarterback for UNLV, probably one of the better quarterbacks they've had in a while, who's saying, pay me my money. And UNLV says, we will not have a gun put to our head. Who's lying? We'll talk about it next. Coach Ra on the injuries, on going forward on fourth down. It's all on the way, Maine, on your home of the Falcons. We're live from the Ticketmaster Studios. And it's going to be a miserable drive home for many of Atlanta. Looking at the map right now, Carl, and it's the entire perimeter is red.
Yeah.
Basically, it's coming down, man. Cats and dogs out there. But you knew that was coming.
I'm more just as a homeowner, fearful of, as we talked about before the show, Mike, the ground getting all this saturated.
And then the trees getting the wind.
And then, whatever we get, the remnants of this hurricane.
Right.
I'm just hoping the wind is not as much as they think it's going to be. But, you know, if you start talking about 4, 5, 6 inches of rain, and then all of a sudden you're getting 50 mile per hour wind.
I know. I mean, I remember, you know, I was telling Chris, every once in a while you hear a story. It happens, unfortunately, every year here in Atlanta, there'd be a tree somewhere, a big old tree in Buckhead or in the Highlands or wherever, and it falls on a car. But, man, it never cared about this stuff in a condo. You get a house, it's a whole different ball game. Just hoping everybody be safe out there and get through it. Thoughts and prayers, too, I guess, especially for the Gulf Coast. A couple of years ago, when I used to go down to Tallahassee for games, sometimes I'd do a three-day weekend, and we used to go down to this little fishing village called Steinhatchee, tiny little town, middle of nowhere on the Big Bend of Florida, and it's like Forrest Gump country, and it's some of the nicest people out there, and it's kind of like making a bead right for that. So hope everybody gets through, and then Tallahassee is going to get some of it as well. All right, guys, on the lighter side, couple of stories for you. Let's start with Catherine Zeta-Jones posing nude.
What?
Yes, a birthday present to Michael Douglas, who's 80. Now, I did a true full disclosure. I showed Carl the photo that she disclosed on social media as a birthday present. It's kind of funny. The caption reads, this birthday present or the golf balls? You know, it's funny. When they got together, I mean, there's a lot of phony baloney in Hollywood, but I got to be honest, man. Everyone always said, well, he's so much older than her and this and that.
It wouldn't work.
But, yeah, this is gift option two, golf balls being option one. It's pretty funny. Beautiful photo of her in silhouette, and she looks amazing. But Michael Douglas turns 80, and they've been married 25 years, man.
Hard to believe.
Keep on rolling. And they're happy campers. I've seen him at 3 Formula One races in the last couple of years. He's a big racing fan, usually with McLaren or sometimes Mercedes, sometimes Ferrari. He kind of makes his way around because he's Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
But just the other reason, it's funny, I saw this story in the LA Times. Just the other night, there was nothing going on, and I was flipping around And Basic Instinct was on.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies.
I said to Begbie, we got to watch the scene when she gets interrogated.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy that most people remember as Newman from Seinfeld is one of the district attorneys. Just, it still stands up. It's gold. It makes you laugh every time.
It's a great movie. Right.
You can't smoke in here, Mr. Mel. Oh, you're going to arrest me for smoking?
It was a date for Michelle and I.
Our
first date.
No kidding.
Yeah. So when it comes on, we always laugh. We just laugh because it's like, and to your point, like, right. I think that movie was 93, 94, somewhere around there, whatever it was. But the house always blew me away. The one where they go out to see her.
The cliffs down on the way to Big Sur.
Yeah. Where is that? And I recently came across something, maybe 2-3 years ago, that house has been sold like numerous times now. But it is, it's an actual, whoever owned the
house. Do you really think that the psychologist did it? At the end, that's what they pin the murders on.
Yeah,
I
never believed that.
I mean,
I didn't believe
she was jealous of her in college.
Yeah,
that Gene Triplehorn. Gene Triplehorn was a fox too in her own.
But you know what we laugh at, Mike, is like the club scene, and they're dancing. That's the part. It's
and
just
Roxy,
like, really,
Roxy is dancing very aggressively. Yes. Her lady friend. Yes. Oh yeah, it made me laugh every damn time. I love the interplay between his boss, lieutenant. She's in your head, Nick.
Yes,
yeah, I'm paraphrasing. Anyway,
keep your appointment. Yes.
Basic Instincts. Yeah. That's your homework assignment for you. You 20-somethings.
It's an older movie, but it's great. And by the way, one of the most famous scenes, to your point, where she's being interrogated.
And spreads her legs and crosses her legs, and then there you go. All right. So from that to UFOs from China. Remember we had that incident over the States last year, and a lot of folks were saying, why don't we blow this thing out of the sky as soon as it was over the States? Well, this one was floating over Canada. New video out there, a U.S. fighter jet, part of our command with Canada, watching the airspace over there. It's floating over the Yukon territory, and the F-22 like blew it all up, but apparently it was one of those balloons with a payload, and a lot of folks are saying it could be one of those spy balloons coming from China or North Korea.
So what are we going to see more of this more often now? What are we supposed to believe?
Well, I don't know. Maybe this wouldn't have made the news. They had to ask, I guess, the Canadian Prime Minister, is it okay we blow it up?
Sure.
Because it's over Canadian land and space.
Airspace, yeah.
So we did. But, small metallic balloon, tethered payload, was spotted amid three other cases in North America dealt with the last couple of years. They were smaller than the suspected Chinese spy balloon that traveled from Alaska across the States. And remember, it got shot down off the coast of South Carolina back in 23.
Yeah.
But it's coming. They feel from the flow of the Gulf Stream, the jet stream, I should say, that it came from China.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting thing, and everybody's got an opinion on this story. We spent some time on it earlier in the show for guys and gals just getting in their cars. Some people have really said the college football world has truly spun off its axis. A guy who's the starting quarterback for the undefeated UNLV running Rebels, who was recruited from Holy Cross for a promise of $100,000, says, no money, I'm not playing.
I'm out.
Red shirt me. You owe me. Everybody's losing their mind. Yes, this is the ultimate off the rails, but the NCAA, as we all know, could have had an opportunity, Carl, to earmark some percentage of money from either television or ticket sales for the players. They fought for amateurism, and they obviously that blew up in their face, and now here we are with no guardrails. They talked to Matt Sluka's dad, and he goes, we have no idea what the hell happened. They say that he was promised $100,000. He has an agent that's working from one of these sort of collectors for the athletes that they have.
Yeah.
And they said that the school, UNLV, is basically saying that they blackmailed him, that this $100,000 is coming out of nowhere. They said that, no, we offered you, how about $3,000 a month for 4 months of the football season? You know, and for those who can't do the math, that's $88,000 shy of what was promised. He said on social media that he was going to be a redshirt year after certain representations had been promised had not come to fruition. And now we are waiting to see, get some clarity on this. Was this a rogue booster? Was this a member of somebody who truly does represent their version of a collective at UNLV? Or is this kid and his agent making something up? I mean, only time will tell. But I've got all these people that are hitting me up on social media. Oh, well, UNLV said they didn't. That's nonsense. Well, what do you think UNLV is going to say? We promised him $100,000 and we reneged?
Yeah. I'm looking at Pete Damo, and he's saying this was from an assistant coach that made a verbal offer to this kid.
Sounds a lot like Florida with Rashada.
But, Mike, this is the problem. And this is why I said earlier that, you know, for everybody's like, well, yeah, that's not happening anywhere else. It will. It's only a matter of time. We're in its infancy with NIL.
There's so much we have yet to encounter. And, Mike, I think when you start to over, promise and under-deliver, these things are going to happen. So Pete Demmel saying this is a verbal offer of $100,000 from an assistant coach that led to Sluka's decision to use his red shirt season.
Right.
So this is not even coming from the head coach. It's not coming from the folks who control the collective. This was some coach who said, hey, we got you.
Right.
You know,
you got him on tape?
I don't know.
Because otherwise it's the ultimate he said, she said. Now, immediately everybody's saying this guy is everything that's wrong with college sports and he's a quitter and he's terrible. Hey, man, you promised $100,000 to transfer from Holy Cross. You want your $100,000. You know, and again, we don't know.
Would you want your $100,000?
Hell yeah.
I want my $100,000.
I don't know what the financial situation for his family is, nor would I try to guess. But, you know, the school issues a statement. As we said, okay, if you want to believe the school, I can't imagine a kid. Now, there's in this sense of competition and having a teammate, and granted, albeit for one season as a transfer, I find it hard to believe that a kid would pull this stunt unless he really did have a promise for $100,000.
Yeah.
And that's on the coach.
Yeah.
And what are they going to say? So they're going to make the kid look like the bad guy. It's look, we all get it, Carl. College football's off its rocker. It's a damn shame.
It is a shame.
This is like in a million years we would never thought we'd be having this conversation 10 years ago.
No, and Mike, but I'll say this, and I'll bring it back to Georgia because Kirby's talked about this. We're not going to tell somebody we're going to give them this, that, or the other and not be able to do it, or tell them we're going to offer them something that we can't.
Right.
And that's where this is, okay? And so for Georgia, and I'm just using this because Kirby's discussed it, that's not going to happen, Mike, because we're not going to overpromise and underdeliver for somebody that shows up and says, well, yeah, but coach told me this is not happening.
And
this is where you have to have all your ducks in a row. If some assistant, and I'm not going to say he's a rogue, but obviously they were recruiting this kid to come there, makes this promise, and then the school says our former offer or formal offer of only $3,000, it just doesn't make sense.
Now, Kirby did take Jaden Rashada on after his whatever the hell that was with Florida and Miami, which is still yet, I believe, to be settled. And there's millions and millions of dollars on the line there, so stay tuned. All right, one last nugget for you for Guy Talk, brought to you by Duke's Bell. Hey, man, Hale. Travis Kelce, one big catch against us, but still didn't really move the meter. He was on his podcast with his brother. A lot of folks are saying, hey, man, are you washed up? What's going on? Is it all about Taylor Swift? She's distracted. You take a listen.
As an offense, you're going to go through these ups and downs throughout the season, and you just want to make sure that you clean up all the mistakes, that you're making sure that you're communicating so that everybody understands exactly where we're going moving forward. I've had a lot of catches in this league, man. I'm not worried about, you know, the catches and the yards and all of that. I have the most fun when I get the ball thrown my way. I mean, who doesn't?
Execution fuels emotion.
It has everything to do with execution, just making sure that we're doing whatever we can to win these football games, man. And that's always going to be the goal.
Yeah. Talked about it at length, saying the defenses are definitely doing some things against him. But, you know, everybody who doesn't follow football now follows football because it's Kelce saying that his career is over.
Yeah.
Because of who he's dating.
Well, I like the way he handled that.
Right.
I'm a Hall of Famer is what he's telling you. I'm not tripping on first 3 weeks and me only having six balls. Like, I think Kansas City, Mike, if they're going to three-peat, and we don't know if that's going to happen, but if it's going to happen, we know he's going to get his fair share of targets and fair share of catches this year.
Right.
And it'll happen at the appropriate time. I'm not so worried about it, and I'm not a Chiefs fan. I just think, like, Mike, there are ebbs and flows to a season. And sometimes, you know, he's a proven guy. If he was unproven, you'd be going, all right, this guy's as good as we think he is.
If he goes five games without a touchdown, you can say Father Time is catching up, and it goes beyond scheme. Hey, real quick, hip-hop artist Fat Man Scoop, who collapsed on stage, how do you think he died?
Heart attack?
I don't think he needs CSI or Quincy for this one.
Heart attack?
Yeah, he was out of shape. He was fat.
Yeah.
Heart attack. Sorry. Fat Man Scoop. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Hey, man, coming up, you're going to hear from our offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, as he addresses some of the things we've been talking about. We need to know what we're doing heading into this Saints game on Sunday, including Cousins improving and Pitt's lack of targets.
Mm.
Stay tuned. You'll hear it next.